I'll give you a choice. You could roll a D10 or a D20.
Ooh,
for your Bag of Madness.
Because
I'm tempted to use the... The list again. Roll a D20.
All right. 6.
Ooh, low.
Danan's only rolled a 6 twice before with a D20.
Richard Gere there in the audience.
Let's take a look at some of his stats.
Yeah.
The Russian won't like that. That would actually seriously make me happy in some strange ways.
I can't explain why. And a number of people who listen.
If there were stats.
Snooker-style narration.
It's like sport. I do love a little bit of a drop-down box that comes in on the screen and goes... he's thrown exactly 14 passes over 40 yards this season.
Now, this is... Chance's third bout of madness in this game.
Exactly.
I don't know why.
At some point, the coach has got to ask himself, what's he doing out there?
What is he doing so wrong?
This is the 12th
interruption. He's got to look at his style of play.
Dom has had in this session. Watch him. He's going to blow. There's no way he can ride this.
Surely they got to substitute him at this stage.
Howdy, sports fans. It's Lester Goodman up here in the booth for your play-by-play. I'm here with the body of Sidney Wagner for analysis. How you doing, Sid? He's great. Just here with a quick interruption to say that those player stats are now available. They've been compiled by a very dedicated season ticket holder over on the Discord. And you can get the link in the show notes. Also, regular listeners may be wondering, didn't they already roll about a madness for Dannon? Well, yes, folks, they did. But since 15 years passed between recording the last episode and this one, they just plain forgot. All right, let's go back over to the pitch.
So you take in this awful sight of... Ernest Abel gurgling words through what remains of his trachea.
It's gonna be
his thigh bone's like poking out through it, isn't it?
Yeah.
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 And you realize he has been disassembled. This is not just a fall. This is something other. And they're among you.
What?
Oh
God.
Or they're within you.
Oh God. Within us.
Things from beyond. The aliens.
No. Yes.
This is the work of aliens.
Yes. Yes, it must
be. Other.
Creatures from the stars.
Interpret that how you will.
Yes, I fully intend to. Well, I think I... No. This man is not... This is not a fall. I've seen falls. I've seen a German officer fall from a Zeppelin and explode on the ground. It didn't have anything like this to it. This is something from within. This is an alien intelligence. This is not what it was in the sky. Yes, that thing. That there must be. And I think I just start sort of pacing in circles around his sort of bubbling corpse and sort of looking at it, trying to figure out what it is. And also. Yes. I also think back to, like, being amongst the smoke in, like, No Man's Land and the Hound of Mons and, like, the angels that we saw, the angels in the mist we saw, like, my first supernatural experience. And I think, well, perhaps they weren't angels. Perhaps some of them are liars and some of them aren't. And then these are liars. These are... I think I probably want to find the aliens inside him. Like the aliens that have taken them apart. I'm assuming they're like in there sort of pulling apart from the inside.
Yeah. So you just, with gusto...
Yes.
...press your hands into the carcass.
Yes.
The still hot, still pulsating corpse of Ernest Abel.
Possibly still trying to talk, and I just... Yes.
Yeah. Start pulling him apart.
But I've got to find it. I have to find... There must be a root cause here. They're still in him. Look. The trachea's still... There are the shin bones coming out. Yes.
And I pull that out, and I sort of reach my hands into his chest cavity and try and just... that's me right now, basically. Do I find any aliens?
No.
Oh.
Shocking.
So sure I would.
But, Joseph, you can give me a listen roll if you like.
A lot of squelching. And
I assume he's checking the body in some fastidious manner.
He's checking the pulse in an aggressive way.
And also, I am very distracted because I think I have... Are there any trees around, Dom? Like, just... So I think I've...
Yeah.
I check to see he's doing that, and I go, yes, I'm listening acutely. but possibly not well enough, I suspect. But I'm striding over to break off a branch, wrap my penultimate... I failed 45 on a 33. I'm gonna wrap a penultimate petrol-soaked rag around the branch, tie it off, and then I'll light it so that I have a burning torch. And then I start to go back to Coghill thinking he needs to see better, and so do I, and this burning torch will make me feel a lot better. And I'm looking for more bodies that might be falling, pretending that things are fine, oblivious to whatever it is that I've just missed.
The oncoming of the storm has brought this terrible damp that's kicked up this thick fog. But your torch blazes through it.
All the more reason.
And so you come upon the site of Coghill, elbows deep inside Ernest Abel's body, covered in gore, ranting to himself.
They're already in there.
And then you see the constable holding a gun out towards Coghill. Coghill's not paying him any heed. And he's just holding the gun to this guy. His eyes are wide, his face is white. And stood just behind the constable is the sergeant, the police sergeant.
No.
With his hands on his hips. And he turns and looks at you.
Colonel, he's gone. Leave him. You can't save him, old chap.
No.
I'm so sorry.
Someone's taken him apart, don't you see?
What's going on here?
They've taken him apart. Who are you? Are you one of them?
It's all right, Colonel. It's all right. No, they're with us.
Hands where I can see them.
Oh, but you probably can see, can't you? Inside, you can see them where they are.
I raise mine.
You can
it's
see
all right,
my
Colonel.
Hands.
Yeah. They're with us. They're, They're the sappers. Yes, they're the sappers.
Oh, the sappers. Oh, yes.
I look desperately in the other two men.
Rough sort. Here we go.
I pull my hands out, like, sort of trying to pull your feet out of a sweaty sock. And like,
this sounds like it's a psychoanalysis.
Yeah,
attempt.
It probably is. Yeah.
Because
it
sounds like you're trying to draw him out of his bout of madness.
You're not getting away with that one for free.
Yes, well, I've read some pamphlets, but I've never actually done any practical application.
You've learned a lot from hanging around with...
I think I've been emboldened by Mrs. Croft, that's what it is. And I've possibly just taken a leaf out of her book. And I panicked, in truth, seeing the law there.
Not that I've done much psychoanalysis in this game, to be honest. I've mostly just been posh.
Not in character, anyway.
Listen,
outside of the game.
Most psychoanalysis is about being posh, isn't it?
It's true.
On a 1, I've rolled a 28. Not bad. I think we'd all agree.
That's pretty good. You deserve something for that.
You could push the roll. Or you could spend the luck.
27 luck.
So unforgiving.
52.
Yeah, I'm not like Andy Goodman giving us luck refreshes every session.
It could be... Even worse, there could be no luck. There used to be no luck. Luck is a great new addition.
Yeah. There was no pushing of rolls either.
Yeah, it was just feast or famine. I think 27 is just a little too rich for my blood. I've got 52 left.
Yeah.
What am I saving it for? But I feel like psychologically, no, I don't really know what I'm doing. I think that's exactly what I say. I say, we must get Dr. Croft. She'll be able to help the poor man.
Yes.
The poor man, I say, pleadingly to the police.
But Coghill's paying you no heed. He's going to disassemble this corpse.
Well, I need to find the track. I need to find evidence. Evidence that they were in there, that they pulled him apart. There'll be marks. There will be marks. And
He fell from the sky. I've seen this before. I'm not even talking to Coghill. If you look at me, Ambrose, you see that I'm just looking... Perhaps I'm slightly defensively standing by you, but I'm looking just at the coppers.
The sergeant says, put the brand down.
The brand? But no, the fog. Don't you see? He fell from the sky. The brand isn't the problem, sir.
You're under arrest, the both of you, for murder.
What? Murder of who? Whom? I beg your pardon.
Mr. Abel.
But he fell from the sky. You can't cause this sort of damage to someone...
How did he fall from the sky?
I don't know, but look at him. He's
I
right.
lie.
Two of us couldn't have done this to the man himself. Look, there'll be something inside. I'll show you the evidence. He'd been taken apart by the aliens. Those up there.
Why is he covered in blood? What have you done to him?
All right, all right. If due process needs to be followed, then I'm sure you can take us down to the cells, but I desperately think that Mrs. Croft, the Colonel's personal physician, should be consulted before we do anything, because I don't think he's, as you can see, he's not in a fit state to go, gentlemen.
All right, then. Well, where is Mrs. Croft?
Back up at the rectory.
Oh, and he gives a meaningful look to the constable, and the constable kind of gives him a nod.
Shit.
And the sergeant takes the gun from him, but he's still holding it, pointed at Coghill, and he says, "Cuff him." And the constable starts getting cuffs out.
Is that strictly necessary? This is Dobbin on the Wold, not Chicago.
I'm not going to take any chances. I've already slipped up by letting you wander around after I found you poking in that well. I should have sent you packing then. And now look what's happened.
We thought we saw someone at the bottom of the well. Well, frankly, I think we were doing your job. I think a strongly worded letter to the Times is advised.
People coming out the ground, people falling from the sky. It's all very convenient.
Well, I'd say it's rather inconvenient.
I don't think it was convenient for poor Abel, was it?
Yes, absolutely. Look at the state of
the biggest thing that's inconvenienced, Mr. Abel, is you coming along.
And the constable's
taking your hands, Joseph, and cuffing behind your back.
I think I whisper to him. I plead with him. I say, look, I've seen this before. He's a man of wartime. You served, didn't you? I look at, how old is he?
He's probably about 22.
So he didn't, did he?
You
served, didn't you? I say, and then I look at him and went, no, you didn't. So you don't understand. The sergeant, how old is he?
Oh, the sergeant's old enough to have served, yeah.
Perhaps you served. Perhaps you understand. Men come back and they're changed.
Oh, I understand.
Mrs. Croft understands this.
Oh, yes.
We don't need the cuffs, gentlemen. We'll come quietly, I promise. You have my word, as an Englishman.
Oh, are you trying to persuade him?
Yes, I am, I think.
It's going to be... I'm going to need a hard success, because he's a no-nonsense kind of guy.
It's a 39% chance. So it's a 19 I'm looking for. Am I going to end up spending 27 luck anyway, guys? So 37. It's a little less than...
It might be better to just accept your fate.
No, I'm gambling now. I'm a gambling man at this stage, I think.
God, you're going to get your whole body bound up. You're going to be going in a straitjacket.
19, so I'm going to spend the 18 luck... to get that hard, Dom. It's a big spend, but I feel like I need these...
You're spending the luck.
18 luck.
Wow.
To get the hard success.
Wowee. That's huge.